For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free. And catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So all we keep hearing from the right is, oh my God, Joe Biden's responsible for all of the inflation. It's all Joe's fault. You see a new report out that 45%, they're saying, Washington Post, 45% of households are being hurt by increased prices. They're saying that more Republicans are being hurt than Democrats. About 1 in 10 say that the hardship is affecting their standard of living. 35% say it's a moderate hardship. But you listen to the right, the sky is falling. It's the end of civilization as we know it. And yet, still want to do something like hold us hostage over the debt ceiling. Because somehow, yeah, that'll make it better. I'm here to share some thoughts on where we are inflation-wise, where things may go, and if the Fed's going to pull the plug and slam the brakes on. That's why I've asked Mateus Vernengo to come talk with us. Mateus is an economics professor at Bucknell University, one of my go-to guys. Mateus, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick.
So I'm looking at the reports here. Inflation's horrible. It's the end of the world. Everyone's going to die. It's all over, Mateus. It's the end of the world.
So inflation is higher. It's the highest, the numbers of, the last numbers that I saw earlier this month, it's the highest since 2005 when the price of commodities were going up. Obviously, the price of gas has affected, everybody, so it's visible. But the issues that are important to discuss, so I think there are a couple of things to bear in mind when we think about this. And we have discussed this issue because it has been an issue for a while in previous shows. But one is I don't think that the inflation was, first of all, caused by the programs of this, or even, not that I have much positive to say about Trump, but it wasn't caused by the fiscal sort of packages during the pandemic.
So the spending that they did to get us through, you don't think that has anything to do with it?
Oh, no, it's not that I think. It's a fact. So, I mean, there is some fiction out there, but, inflation has not been caused by excess demand. So the notion that the fiscal packages caused inflation, be that the first three that all of the Trump packages passed with Democratic votes, and I must say that the Biden packages. The first one passed with no Republican vote, and the infrastructure one had some Republican votes, very few, but it had some, and the Build Back Better had not. So, and we'll see what will eventually pass. But, you know, at any rate, you know, in order to have a fiscal policy being the cause of inflation, you have to have that the economy is at full employment. And because you're hitting the limits of the economy, you know, then you're pushing prices up. There is no more stuff to be, you know, have and had, and so prices go up. At this point, it will take us with the growing, and the growing is, you know, it's a good recovery. We're recovering from a crisis that was humongous, that's still not over, that we still have Omicron, and, you know, we may have further shutdowns, and God knows exactly what, you know, will happen in the supply chain. But, you know, at this pace of recovery, if we keep having whatever 500, tomorrow we have a report. So if we, tomorrow is Friday, isn't it? Yes. So we get a report, say it's 500,000 jobs or something like that. So that we keep a good pace of recovery in the labor market. It will take us to the end of 2022 to get the same level of employment we had at the beginning of the pandemic. So we're not out of the recession, despite of what people say. I mean, the recession for me ends when there are more people, you know, having jobs than before the crisis. That's the end of a recession, not when whatever output or the asset, you know, the stock market goes up or anything like that. So we're not close to full employment. It's not that, you know, we had hit the limit because we're overspending and people are, you know, doing really well. It's because there are minor supply chain effects that have, you know, affected some prices, and because there are snags in certain commodity prices that, you know, are central energy prices. Energy prices are the ones that grew up. So is inflation a concern? Yes. Why? Not because inflation is a terrible thing that, you know, it's the dragon that we have. I mean, unemployment is the problem. Poverty is the problem. Inflation, if wages were growing faster than prices, well, you know, for the vast majority of people, it wouldn't be a concern. You know, the problem is that over the last year, wages have grown slightly less than prices. And so that's the issue. It's hurting people. And I think that there is some, I was listening to what you were saying, there is some concern that Republicans are happy with that because electorally that would be a good thing. And so that's the reason why inflation has become sort of an issue. And I am, you know, I should say, I'm not completely sure that, so there is a whole discussion, even within the Democratic Party, if Biden should have reappointed, Jerome Powell or should have gotten Lyle Breitbart. And I tend to think that it's indifferent. I mean, I don't think that the Fed and Powell caused inflation. And I don't think that they will do significant different things. I don't think that if they try to stop the economy a little bit, I don't think that they will be able to do it for a long while. I think that they'll be forced to continue the policies in which monetary policy is relatively loose, and in which they help Treasury. Maintaining interest rates low to fund the fiscal expansion. I think all of those things will be needed because the economy is not out of the woods.
Right.
And I should say the other thing that it's important, because it's being used, as you said, politically, is that Build Back Better, so the further part of the fiscal package that, you know, I'm still hoping we can pass, and it's not going to be close to the size it should be, but, you know, we should pass something. That wouldn't cause inflation. Like the infrastructure plan, it's something that would increase our capacity to produce things. And exactly because of that, it will move further away the limit of the economy that if you hit, you get inflation. So fiscal policy, if done right, actually reduces the chances of inflation rather than increasing the chances of inflation. So I hope we pass that.
I listened to one of the right-wing talking heads today and said he was going on about how all this government spending is causing all this inflation. It's giving people the ability to stay home and not work. It was just all bad all the time, all horrible. So what people are hearing is that by us spending money, investing in roads and bridges and helping people with the Build Back Better stuff, what they're thinking and what they're being told is this investment is causing inflation. Inflation is bad. It's bad. I can't buy the stuff I want. So we got to stop all of it, which is really short-sighted and dangerous in my view.
It is. It is. And you know, the other important part of this. So there is, as you said, an issue of the message and the media and what they unrelentlessly will sort of you know, push. So this idea that, you know, that inflation is normally bad for the working class. So if we had the ability to push wages further up, you know, again, this wouldn't be an issue. So part of the problem actually belies the whole notion that we are, you know, in you know, a situation that it's close to, you know, the high inflation of the 70s. It's that it has been very difficult for workers to even, you know, with all of the difficulties that people are talking about, you know, hiring workers and whatnot, it has been very difficult for, you know, workers to bargain higher wages. And so wages have not grown fast. We cannot even pass an increase in the minimum wage legislation. And so we're still, you know, so this is definitely, I mean, I do hope that we actually get a little bit of good inflation, meaning if we do pass Build Back Better, and we do get better conditions for workers, and the pandemic does create conditions in which workers have more bargaining power and don't need to go back to jobs that are absolutely, you know, insecure and you know, poorly paid and so on and so forth, then there'll be some wage resistance like in the 70s that, given this supply side sort of, you know, we don't have chips and, you know, because of particular issues during the pandemic, or the price of gas, you know, for reasons that have nothing to do with American policy went up, you know, then we may get some wage resistance, but that would be good, you know, so that would be a thing that, you know, again, we would have the equivalent of the 70s in that respect. But I don't think we're there. So I'm sorry to say that I don't think we're there. So inflation will not be the issue. The issue that is still facing us in the foreseeable future is how we get to, again, grow at levels that are, you know, more significant with the, I mean, growing is not the whole thing. It's growing with incorporation of better conditions of work and better pay for workers. And in the current circumstances, I should say, it also implies, given all the effects of climate change and this, that, and the other that we have had, and we know, you know, floods in the areas we are, you know, fires up in the West and so on and so forth, that we get also more spending in infrastructure to avoid all of the sort of also issues that come with that. So,
you're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Mateus Vernango, professor of economics at Bucknell University, talking about inflation and some of the nonsense that we keep hearing on the right about how bad it is. If you've got a question, thought for Mateus, give us a call, 866-416-RICK. That's 866-416-7425. Now, a second ago, you said that there's good inflation. You know, we've been trained kind of like Pavlovian dogs that whenever we hear the word inflation, Mateus, we start foaming at the mouth because it's all bad. It means higher prices, and we're not going to be able to buy our hamburgers cheap, and we're not going to be able to get things cheaply. It means bad. That's what we've been trained. It is what we've been trained.
Well, the point is, you know, there is something that it's important to understand. The obsession with inflation and central banks obsessed with inflation comes from relatively wealthy people. So the wealthy people that depend on real remuneration on their assets don't particularly like inflation. Workers, provided wages go up further than prices, they don't necessarily lose. And so if the interest rates are low, and that's the real issue here. So what gets to Wall Street and wealthy individuals and conservatives is that, you know, interest rates are low. Interest rates being low with a little bit higher inflation means that real remuneration for several assets are sort of smaller. Of course, there is a bubble in the stock market, and that's how, you know, a lot of the money has been done by the very wealthy people. But in general, I mean, the obsession with inflation comes from the conservative camp and not from workers. So I think that there is a messaging problem, and there is an issue also that over the last 40 years, you know, the working class has been weaker, you know, less unions, less ability to protect itself from inflation. And so that obviously is an issue. Yeah. So no, I'm not saying that you should not be concerned with inflation. Right. But what I'm saying is, I would like to have the kind of inflation we had in the 70s, in the sense that I would not the high levels. Look at what I'm saying. I'm saying that wages are the cause you know, to some extent, the demands of workers require that, you know, that prices have to be a little bit higher.
No, I go back to my grandparents who lived the mass of their work life. It was the 60s and 70s. And my grandfather, his union contract, you know, every time inflation went above a certain percentage, he got a raise so that his wages didn't fall behind. And that, you know, we don't have that stopgap, that safety net that generation had to make it through that high inflation, which is why you can say, look, it is hurting the working class because of higher wages, because they don't, or because of higher prices, because they don't have the ability to demand those wage increases like our grandparents did.
If Republicans were so concerned with inflation, they would vote everybody massively to increase minimum wages to a level that makes sense. $15, let me say this, $15 per month, per hour, at this point, given all that happened, it's not enough. We should be talking $20, $21 per, you know, that should be the national minimum wage. And so, oh, we cannot afford it. Of course we can afford it. It's absurd. The notion that we cannot afford it, it's senseless. So there is no problem with that. It wouldn't be inflationary, and also it wouldn't cause unemployment. So all of those are myths. That it would cause more people with money. An ability of the economy to grow. It would cause an increase in productivity. So a lot of the higher spending in, if you spend well, if you spend in infrastructure, if you spend in giving better conditions for work for people, a better welfare system, all of those things go into higher productivity. People that are have good health, that have childcare, that have all of these sort of benefits, they work better. They're better at what they do. They have education. Better what you do means lower cost of production. So even though you have higher wages, you can pay at the end less, and that's not fiction. That's in the data. So that's the issue. Spending well money and expanding the economy and having higher wages would lead to less inflation. The period in which we had, which is the golden age of capitalism, as it's called, the 50s and 60s, and that starts to break down with the conservative revolution in the 70s. It's a period exactly of high wage growth, which wages going up with productivity. So there was no inflation. There was no inflation because the increases in wages were hand in hand with increases in productivity. And so that's what we had. That's the model we want to go back to.
Yeah. And this is where, I keep coming. There's a moment here where we can reset our economy to reward work, which we haven't done in a very long time, and to have a sane, rational tax code that says, the wider your shoulders, the stronger you are, the more water you carry back to the cave, the more you need to do.
Yeah, well, I think the issues of why we this is, as the important thing here is that this is a political issue. I don't think it's an economic issue per se. So I don't think that it's because we don't understand the reasons of what's going on. The question is political. The question, I'm sorry to say, is it's not just that the Republican Party has acted in ways that are irrational in many ways, including the sort of populist discourse within the Republican Party. So there is a lot of working class people that vote for the Republican Party, and that's sort of scary and frightening. But it's the result of 40 years of deindustrialization and abandoning of the working class. But divisions within the Democratic Party too. So the fact that we cannot agree on passing a very robust, build back better sort of package, it's part of the problem, I think. So unless we do that, we're going to have trouble next year.
Last question, real quick. Does the inflation? When do you see the inflation kind of tapping down?
Well, here's the thing. I when do we see the pandemic passing? I wrote a paper a year ago that was published around December. And one of the things I said, this was before the vaccines were out. I said, if we had vaccines, the vaccines probably will be closer to not because I knew, I was reading, what people in that field say, they will be closer to flu vaccines. So you'll end up needing boosters and shots every year. And this will lead to, we will have several other. So it may take a while. And if it takes a while, the inflation thing will stay with us for a while. So we will need these policies for a while.
Good stuff. Mateus, I appreciate the time. Always great stuff, my friend.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good stuff. Our good friend, Mateus Vernango. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.